Welcome to Transition, Gadgets 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Nintendo Switch. Now, it's been some time since the Switch launched, and Nintendo has set itself some rather high targets in terms of sales. And we're also going to be looking at all the games that have been launched so far on the Switch and what's coming in the future. So we'll be talking about things like third-party developer support on the Switch and the problems with some of the third-party games that have released on that console. Also, we will be speaking about the first-party titles that Nintendo has not announced, which are coming, which are supposedly coming this year. So to do all of that, we have our games editor, Srishi Alwani.
Hey, hello.
And friend of the podcast, Mikhail Madnani.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. All right then, Nintendo Switch is, well, been successful. And
when are you buying one, Pranay? That's the big question.
Once they fix that memory issue. Yeah.
What memory
issue? I'm not going to buy a 256 GB card for like 8,000 rupees after spending 22,000 on a Switch.
But come on, it's the whole Nintendo experience. You buy a game and you have to download 8 GB after that.
Hey guys, heard of the Vita? Okay, but jokes aside, yeah, so the Switch has been out for almost a year and a half at this stage, and it's been super successful. So successful that parts of the world have seen shortages galore. From what we know, the Middle East is only getting 40% of its supply officially. Remaining 60% is coming through parallel imports. India doesn't get the Switch officially. That's something we've covered at length on this podcast and on our site, gadgets360.com. And that's because Nintendo basically thinks India doesn't exist. They think India exists for developers, but they don't think India exists as a consumer. So anyway, where that's concerned, that hasn't stopped availability. As Pranay said, 22,000 for a Switch. I'd say it's a little more, probably 24 to 26, depending where you look. And Nintendo has some ambitious sales targets. They plan to hit 20 million sales before the year is up. And they plan to ramp up production for that. So last year, there was an issue where they were competing with Apple for components, particularly flash storage. And now it seems a combination of Nintendo's renewed focus plus Apple also cutting down on its component requirements for the year has resulted in a situation where they're confident to say 20 million units is possible. But at the same time, we're also seeing a lot of developer support.
Yeah, so it's pretty mind-blowing when you think about how right now, if you buy a copy of Wolfenstein or Doom, first of all, that's basically like something which should blow your mind in general. But if you buy a physical copy of either of these adult or like 18-plus rated games, they're actually distributed by Nintendo in European and North American territories. Yeah, if you actually look at your physical copy at the back, it says Importer Nintendo of Europe because they are the ones handling the distribution. And this brings me to another point. This is actually why the games haven't made it here officially, because while Bethesda has an official distributor here in the form of EXpress Interactive, these games are not distributed by Bethesda, so EXpress Interactive cannot bring them here officially, which is why you don't see them in Games the Shop. And if you see them on Amazon, they're probably gray market imports or third-party sellers selling them.
And why it's interesting that Nintendo is distributing it is because Nintendo is perceived to be a family-friendly company. And let's just say that Doom and Wolfenstein 2, the New Colossus, are anything but family-friendly.
Yeah, and it's not even just about the violent side of things. I mean, there are certain like PEGI 18 related games which get the rating not for violence. I'm not going to go into more details, but you can like just check out the upcoming games for the Switch and you'll see these are games which might have trouble even on Steam when Valve was flip-flopping around the issue. So yeah, the Switch, they basically opened the floodgates. Like, I remember there was a time when both Apple and Nintendo were not allowing The Binding of Isaac to show up on the platforms because of the whole religious angle and like the Christianity and all that stuff, because they think it'll be offensive. But Binding of Isaac showed up on 3DS, the new 3DS, and it showed up on Wii U, and it's even on iOS. And in fact, it was one of the big launch titles for the Switch. Nicalis, the publisher, got Binding of Isaac with both expansions and did an actual retail release, which is super hard to find now on the Switch. And that was like Nintendo pushed it heavily. So they are like their policies and their promotion for like the more mature games has definitely changed. So that's been both a good thing and a bad thing, because Some titles which are appearing on the eShop, it's kind of like showing early signs of Steam, and not in a good way, I'd say. But while it is showing these signs, a lot of indie developers are finding tons of success on the Switch, more so than other platforms. And in some cases, the Switch sales of certain games are more than the other platforms combined.
Yeah, we've seen this with Wolverblade in particular, which I think more than 70-80% of the sales were on Switch alone. And we've also seen this with titles that have just showed up, as well as Battle Chasers, which was I think on the top five when it showed up on the Switch.
Yeah, and even Humble Bundle publishes a lot of indie games they've started. There's this game they recently did. Yeah, Wizard of Legend. There's a review on Gadgets 360 for that. That's been consistently in the top five since launch. It hasn't left, and I never expected this to happen because while obviously you have the likes of Stardew Valley and Rocket League, which are perpetually in the top five for obvious reasons, this is not something I expected to happen, and clearly it is selling really well. And there's this game called Blossom Tales, which is kind of like a 2D Zelda. That game had almost no success on Steam. As far as I remember, it was either 1,000 or 10,000 approximately over the sales, and the Switch sales day one apparently were 10 times that amount or something like that. And the devs actually said that this kept them in business and they can continue development now thanks to this.
Yeah, and so long story short, as you can see, there's a lot of third-party support for the Switch, be it in AAA like Doom and Wolfenstein, or in terms of indies like Wolverblade, Blossom Tales, Hollow Knight, and even SteamWorld, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, SteamWorld Dig 2 debuted on Switch, PS4, Vita, PC around the same time, and it actually has sold the most on Switch. And yeah, in fact, Nintendo marketed the game also really heavily. Like, for most people, at least the people who have multiple platforms. Now, if you're going to spend, say, $20 on an indie game, sure, you can buy it on PS4 and you get the Vita version free sometimes. But in a lot of cases, there's no cross-save over there. And cross-save means you can't actually transfer your progress in between both. Now, this happens because the Vita is pretty underpowered in general. I mean, it was when it launched, it was comparable to the iPad 3 in terms of GPU grunt at the time. So a lot of developers just like release a version, make sure it runs fine, and they're happy with that. Implementing save syncing and implementing stuff like that is a lot of other work. With the Switch, it's the same build on the same platform. You're just, when you dock your console, you just get 5 times the horsepower. So for a lot of people, you just buy it to play it portably. Like, that's why I got SteamWorld Dig 2 on the Switch. And if you want to play it docked, you just put your thing into the dock and it works.
Yeah.
So besides SteamWorld Dig 2, like, Hollow Knight is the most recent success. Like, it's already sold more than 250,000 copies. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty insane considering, like, it's still launched at full price and it's been discounted on PC a lot of times before this.
Yeah, so like Hollow Knight is basically a 2D Metroidvania meets Dark Souls. And it's
with a very, very lovely art style, and the Switch port is actually pretty fantastic. So
yeah, and Hollow Knight isn't a game that has, and it, sadly, I mean, it pains me to say this, but I should say it anyway. Hollow Knight is a game with a lot of bugs, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Because, you know, you play as a bug, yeah, and there are bug enemies.
Todd
bless. It's not buggy, but yeah, Todd bless. Anyway, jokes aside, which brings us to the sticking point. While we're seeing the Switch getting a ton of support, not all of it is good. Our recent experiences with Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus on Switch have
internet
been...
Internet connection required.
No, forget yes, that. There like, we go. Before we get into that, we need to talk about how terrible WWE is.
Yes.
Or we should say was on the Switch, because... as of now, WWE 2K19 is not announced for the Switch, and all signs point to it not showing up, because NBA is showing up, FIFA is showing up. Both of them were announced at the same time the other platforms were. When we got WWE 2K18 for review, and first you need to download almost 20 GB, if not more, just to be able to play the game. And once you finish downloading 20 GB, and by the way, you need an SD card. You cannot play this even if you have no other game installed on your Switch internal memory. It's a laggy mess. Imagine if you go back a few years to Gingerbread on Android, Gingerbread, the worst one of the lot. Imagine that with TouchWiz, and imagine if that's what the performance was of a wrestling game. That's exactly what WWE 2K18 is on the Switch. And it's pretty mind-blowing how terrible the performance was. And I actually had some decent expectations considering NBA is a fantastic port on the Switch. And it's comparable to the other platforms, but WWE is like just a complete mess.
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of people, when Mike and I played it, it just reminded me of an early gen PS3 title or a late gen PS2 title. Very jagged, very rough, very stilted. It didn't feel like a WWE game. And now I get it. I understand that the Switch is underpowered. I understand that it's not easy to develop for new platforms. I get that. I also understand the fact that, fine, being a WWE numbered yearly game, or not a yearly numbered game, I also understand that, yeah, it's you need to meet certain deadlines and you're going to cut corners. But if you're going to cut corners to the point where there's a 20 plus gig download. Now, keep in mind, if this was any other console, it's okay. But the Switch's Wi-Fi is pretty bad. And Nintendo should feel bad. So, you're looking at 20 gig plus download. You're looking at a game that costs, I think, what, $60?
Yeah, it released a few months later and it was still full price, while the other platforms had already been discounted for Black Friday and in India, at least, for just other promotions in general. Like, I believe at the time, WWE launched at $3,499 at retail in India and you could buy the PS4 version for like $2,699 or $2,799. Yep, yep.
So, you had a game that came out late that is super expensive and was pretty buggy. And forget buggy, it was just a colossal mess. And at that point of time, you start realizing, okay, not every game should come to Switch. And this is like the worst case example. To give you an idea how bad it is, how bad it was. So the point is the Switch allows you to, if you have two Switches connected locally, which are on the same network, you can transfer files between them.
Or even wirelessly. That's what we did. I took the update because the Switch Wi-Fi actually makes the PS4 Wi-Fi chip feel like an iPhone 10 or something. So the Switch, like, it took 45 minutes to transfer the patch from one Switch to the other over local wireless, which was not worth it in the end because booting the game up resulted in just lag across the board. Even the entrances were stuttering.
Yep.
In fact, I think it probably took 5 seconds for Triple H's spit to like actually come out of his mouth something. It was really bad.
Yeah, I mean, it made Rawan on PS3 look good. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, so while WWE is the worst case example of how not to do a port, essentially, along with Rime, which is an indie game, the most recent case is Wolfenstein 2, which released on June 29th on the Switch. Now, Wolfenstein 2 released late last year on PS4, Xbox, and PC. A really good game. Really good performance on PS4 and Xbox. PC version had some trouble initially. It's probably been fixed because Bethesda is usually good with this stuff. But then it's launched now, more than 6 months later on Nintendo Switch. It's still full price while, to put it into perspective, you can buy the collector's edition of Wolfenstein 2, depending on your Games Shop store in your city, for 4,000 rupees right now because it's on clearance, it seems. Or you can spend 4,200 and buy Wolfenstein 2 base game with terrible performance and visuals on the Switch right now. And while I enjoy playing everything on the Switch because, like, it's portable and, like, Doom was really good on the Switch, Wolfenstein 2 is just no, basically.
Yeah, and again, while Mike does bring up a comparison with the standard, with the collector's edition, let's drive the point home further. If you know where to look internationally, Wolfenstein 2 on PS4, Xbox, or PC is $20.
Yeah.
And if you're buying it on Switch, you're paying $60. So essentially, you can end up buying a Wolfenstein 2 on PC, PS4, Xbox One, all three versions, for the price of Wolfenstein on Switch.
And before you say that, oh, maybe I'll give it a shot because the price will likely go down at some point, that's not going to happen because while Doom released in November last year, it's still not had a price drop physically at all. The cheapest you can get it is if you have a Prime discount or Best Buy Gamers Club Unlocked membership where you get 20% off, which is the price which applies to every single game. Nintendo distributed games do not drop in price unless they actually do not sell at all, and they haven't dropped any of their Switch titles so far.
I mean, even Skyrim doesn't have a price drop, and that sold really, really well. And if you ask me, it's on the Skyrim's an example of the being on the other end of the spectrum where the game's actually really good.
Yeah, and in my point, like, I always knew, like, inside before I bought Wolfenstein 2 on Switch that it was going to be a shit show because Doom was pushing the Switch like as much as it could. Wolfenstein 2 is a lot more demanding overall. Doom was made by id, it scaled well and all that. Even if you have a GPD Win 2 also, Doom can run really well. Wolfenstein 2 is not the same. It's much heavier with its requirements, and the Switch is the same as it was last year. Things are not going to change. So while I've played a bit, I think I played 3 hours of it, it's not terrible, but I'd honestly not recommend this at all for anyone who wants to play it docked, because it's 720p docked at almost 30 FPS. At least targets 30 FPS. And visuals have been compared to the very low setting on PC, if not less than that. Now, sure, it's good if you want to play portable, but the problem is Doom actually was suited to portable play with arcade mode and with the level design and the whole arcade style gameplay. Wolf is more narrative and gameplay driven with larger levels. I don't think that really fits the portable gaming as a whole. And Doom could actually be played in arcade mode, which lets you just pick a level and just play it quickly and then like be done with it. You know, like you'd play a normal platformer or something. Wolf doesn't have this. You have to play the campaign. You have to play some of the long levels. You have to play some of the poorly designed early levels as well. There's no just skipping it to go to arcade mode or multiplayer. Doom had that also. A lot of people played Doom multiplayer. And in fact, they still do. I'm surprised to see people online playing it. So there's that. So if you do want a shooter to play on the go and you don't have a Vita for Killzone Mercenary, I'd say get Doom. Do not touch Wolfenstein right now.
Or you could play stuff on iOS like Shadowgun Legends. Just putting it out there.
All right then. So beyond this, do you want to say anything about the Switch?
Yeah. So they haven't announced. They claim that there's a... So now... I don't know. To me, it just seems like...
It seems like a reaction to E3. While, like, sure, Smash Brothers is going to sell 10 million copies or something. It's going to probably be in the top 5 best-selling games this year. But just because on name, even though it probably... Like, it still looks to me like a upscaled or enhanced port, I'd say.
Not a port directly,
but an enhanced port, I'd say, with more content. So
in Sakurai, we trust it'll be a good game. Relax.
No, it'll be a good game, but it's... Come on, it's still going to be like an enhanced port. So... They spent way too much time showing this stuff, and while Rishi likes that because they explained everything, no one watches a announcement or an event at a direct when you have a follow-up Treehouse conference which actually goes in-depth into games where they waste time on showing each character. Like, just announce the game, talk about it for a bit, and like let people watch other stuff.
But Ridley's coming to Smash.
No one cares. Hey. So... they wasted too much time on this, and while obviously everyone's hyped for Smash, the direct felt weak compared to, at least like, Microsoft put everyone to shame in terms of announcements for sure.
But none of those games are coming out, so.
Okay. So I think they basically feel like they need to put more of their cards on the table, because they said that they still have titles in place to hit the 20 million target, which implies some big name games. Panic Button, the people who handled the Doom and Wolfenstein and even Rocket League port initially, are making an announcement this month for a big title which is coming to Switch. So we don't know what that could be at this point, but they said they are announcing something in July. Hopefully it's GTA. If it's GTA, that 20 million is, that's it, it's done. But we don't know that right now. Todd Howard has also said Fallout 4 is not in the works for Switch. So
yeah, he said Fallout 4 is not in the works, but he hasn't said New Vegas or Fallout 3 is in the works.
Yeah, like having a combination of the Switch horsepower and Obsidian bugs would be like the best combination in the world. Like, can't wait to see that. So it might make WWE look good. So,
no,
but
so
they have some announcements. They're obviously going to do more Nintendo Directs as the year goes by. But they have announced stuff which is coming out till the end of the year. Like, Smash is coming out in December. You have the Xenoblade expansion coming out in September. And you have third-party stuff like NBA coming out in September as well. And FIFA is also showing up at some point. So, yeah, they will do a direct. But I fail to see a big Nintendo title coming out which they wouldn't have announced. Because they've announced Fire Emblem Three Houses for 2019. Metroid Prime 4 is still scheduled for quote-unquote this decade. Pokemon's coming out. Pokemon's going to be a big driving force. I feel bad for people buying a Pokemon Go version at $60 because that's what it looks like. Yeah, so that's my point. They've revealed so much stuff. I think the title which Nintendo's probably talking about, or the titles they're talking about, will be third-party big titles which... are probably old ports, because like, while everyone would laugh at how it's getting so many ports, a GTA port would genuinely make it sell a ton more than it already is.
I don't know. I mean, the point is, while a GTA port would make sense, there is one reason this could happen, is because I think it's something we discussed on an earlier podcast where in LA Noir...
Yeah, the connectivity Rockstar Social Club.
There is connectivity with Rockstar Social Club. Now, why that's important is because Rockstar Social Club is the technical connective tissue between Rockstar's online services and games. So, for example, GTA Online, which has made more money than God at this stage, would work with Rockstar Social Club. And you'd need something like that. If you're to do GTA on Switch, you'd need something like that. But at the same time, we also don't know what capacity of cards this would ship in, if at all. It could just end up being a pure digital release. We don't know that at this stage. With Panic Button saying that they are working on an unannounced project, it could either be something from Bethesda, considering they have an established working relationship, or it could end up being something from someone else. But Bethesda seems likely at this stage. So who knows?
even then, I think 20 million is still going to happen on the back of Pokemon alone.
Yeah, Pokemon and Smash, easy. Like, both of those are almost guaranteed 10 million sellers each.
Yeah. But then, that being said, I think the takeaway for users should be that if you're looking to pick up a Switch or you have a Switch, and if you're in the camp that wants everything on the Switch, do your research before buying, because as we found out in a very costly exercise, that you may not want to spend for games like Wolfenstein 2, at least on the Switch.
Yeah, that's
and there's
true.
Like, none of these games are really limited print runs. Since Nintendo's distributing them, they're almost always going to be available in some form over here. Doom, and in fact, even Skyrim, I think, got a discount digitally. So Skyrim's the kind of game you'd want installed digitally as well, and it's a very good port, so you could have picked that up for $40 around Christmas. They'll probably discount them as well this year, so you can wait for a digital sale. Or if you have people in the US, Best Buy usually does very good deals around Nintendo games where you buy one, get one 50% off. They might actually do that with the Switch this year, since it's like nearly 2 years since it launched. But yeah, don't like buy without research for any AAA third-party port on the Switch, basically.
Or just wait for the Nintendo Switch Pro, which will come in 2020 or something.
Yeah, but like, will the world even exist then?
Yeah, that's
also...
Need
to play everything right now, except the Crew 2, so...
Yeah, right then. So the games we've been playing this week.
Speaking of the Crew 2, Safrane, yeah. How are you doing?
Yeah, how do you feel?
Probably like... less traumatized than I was when I played Need for Speed Payback, but okay. Still like pretty close. Didn't like the fact that the Crew 2 is always online with like no real online features. There's like a roster feature where you can sort of invite your friends and like race and complete challenges and all, but there's no like player versus player mode yet, and you're shipping a game which is like always online, where this whole MMO feature is being hyped up so much, and how the game will improve in the next 1 year, etc., is being hyped right at the beginning, and you don't have PvP. So yeah, tough luck. It's pretty sad. But beyond that, yeah, arcade racing game, good fun. Races, street races are really, really killer. Like, the poor GPS doesn't take away from that. Like, the GPS is in one corner of the map, and like the road is pretty much open. You can easily take a wrong turn and miss a checkpoint and sort of fall behind in your race. So that adds another level of challenge. But other than the GPS feature, the driving experience is really killer, no matter which car you're driving, or even if you're like doing some off-road races, which are super killer. Like, the best feature with the off-road races is that like they tell you, okay, you have to go to the next checkpoint, now take whatever route you want. So you can like climb up a mountain, you can go by a straight road, you can go into water also and like go there, so that like anything goes approach. Yeah, I really like that. Sort of reminds me of an old game whose name I don't remember right now, but yeah, back in the 90s, I used to play this game. So it was around the time when Midtown Madness released.
Road Rage.
No, not that one. Anyway, so overall, it is a fun game, but the motorbike races are like really weak. That motocross nonsense. And also, I felt that the track races are also sort of weak because the tracks are too wide. So yeah, open street races and off-road races are where the Crew 2 really does well. Unfortunately, the free drive mode is a complete waste because unlike Forza Horizon 3, where like you would sort of go to each area and then only you'd be able to like fast travel there, and fast travel attracts a certain charge in Forza Horizon 3. Like, you have to pay some in-game currency, which is easily like you can easily earn it in the game. To fast travel, but there's no such penalty in the Crew, so there's no real reason to explore it. You can just like jump from event to event and quickly race, so you don't really need to spend that much time in the game. Just keep racing and you are fine. I felt that the whole point of having such a massive world in this game is sort of lost because of that. Finally, they also have freestyle events where you can sort of take a plane inverted, go in low altitude and like skim the treetops to gain some extra followers in the game. Those freestyle stunts are killer, and you can have some really thrilling moments without fear of crashing and damaging your plane and all that. So yeah, fun game, but once they ship PvP in December and when the game gets a price cut, then only it's worth buying. As of now, I would say, wait. So yeah, Mike?
Been playing Golf Story again because I gave up on it when it had the save bug. So I restarted the game, played 3 hours of it. Still really good playing that. And also playing a similar game, Stardew Valley, again, continuing an old save, been really good. Stardew Valley is probably the most relaxing game ever. So yeah, just that basically.
In my case, I've been playing Overwatch since they got the Symmetra rework. So that's been pretty good. I like what they've done with the new with the character. Instead of six turrets, you have three. They last longer. They attach to any surface. The new teleporter move is a little annoying because it basically allows you to teleport in a straight line, which means you can sidestep kill zones which characters like Bastion put up. But then it just seems a little redundant. I mean, it's too specific a use case to be versatile or useful as the previous implementation of teleporters was. Been playing a lot of that. Been playing a lot of Nier on the Xbox One since that hit. Well, let's just put it this way. If you thought the PC version was bad, the PC version is still bad.
Mm.
And this is slightly better. It's not the best way to play on the One X.
At least you can play Nier full screen without it crashing.
There you go. Mm. But it is... I did run into a few bugs. One which didn't let me progress past the first 5 minutes of the game without re-downloading it. And that aside, the frame rate doesn't hold up too well, particularly in areas like the amusement park or Pascal's Village. But that aside, it's pretty good. Combat's fine. I thought the combat could be a sticking point because of the Xbox controller, but that's not the case. It's not as tough to play as you'd think if you're using the Xbox 360 controller. So on PC, that is. But yeah, otherwise it's pretty good. It's a decent port. I hope it gets another patch to fix some of the frame rate. And yeah, the HDR implementation could be better, but that's what you get. So I mean, yeah, decent way to play the game. Not the best, decent.
All right. So I think I'll buy the Crew 2 when it arrives on the Nintendo Switch. Always online games on the Switch are amazing, aren't they?
Yeah. Plus you also have the best voice in-app
voice chat.
Yeah, voice chat.
Yeah, and matchmaking if you're in Splatoon 2.
Exactly.
Right then, that's all we have for this episode of Transition, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And also write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. I know we use email. We are like old-fashioned like that. If you like this podcast, don't forget to rate us on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts and subscribe to us via those two apps or iTunes on your computer. So yeah, the music for this podcast comes via Magnus Olai Paulsen, whose album PPP is what the tracks are from. Thank you so much for listening.